A scripture for this morning comes from John, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is right and true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The word of God for the people of God. Pray with me. O gracious and holy God, we ask that you would pour afresh your Holy Spirit throughout this place. Let it touch our hearts, O God, that we may truly receive your presence and truly know that you are Lord of Lords. So, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your name, our Redeemer and our Lord. Amen. This is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and we pause to refocus, realizing that Lent is truly a time of repentance and decision making. So today, the scripture text that you read, it invited us to a time of decision making. Will we choose to be in the light, or will we choose to remain in the darkness? So on this fourth Sunday, our focus is on the light, living by the light. Usually the first thing that comes to mind when we speak of light is truly darkness. For many of us, the meaning of light versus darkness goes something like this: good versus bad, holy versus evil, truth versus falsehood. We often say that light reveals good things and the darkness helps us hide the bad or the evil things that's in our lives. But in John's gospel, light and darkness have a different meaning. Light means it symbolizes a state of belief or unbelief. To be in the light means that one believes that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. One believes that Jesus has come from God and that Jesus is God. And that's belief. But in the darkness, we find unbelief. Unbelief that Jesus truly is not the Messiah. He has not come from God and he is not God. But John's gospel truly affirms to us that Jesus is the light that has come into the world. He is the light that is shining in the midst of darkness. And in order for us to fully understand our text for today really requires that we include the text just before this passage, John 3, 1 through 13. Because our text today is Jesus' answer to Nicodemus' question, how can this be possible? You see, Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the night. The crisis of decision is clearly fleshed out in Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. Listen to the words of John 3, 1 through 13. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus says to him, "How can anyone be born after living and having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." How often, or either how are we drawn to Christ? We're drawn to Christ by the light, or are we drawn to him by the signs that we see or hear that he is doing? It appears that Nicodemus was drawn to Christ by the signs he was doing. Nicodemus calls Jesus Rabbi, which means teacher. Now that was a good thing for Nicodemus. But then right after that, he sticks his foot in his mouth when he says, "We know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you." And Jesus immediately interrupts Nicodemus and says, "You have a signs faith. Your faith is only because of the things that you see me do." Jesus is saying to Nicodemus that his faith is based on the signs he's doing. It's a faith based on signs. And that kind of faith is inadequate, is shallow, and is shaky. The signs in John's gospel always point towards something deeper. They point to the kingdom of God and how we participate in it. Remember last week, Pastor Nathan shared with us that Jesus invites us to co-participate in the work that he is doing through the church and through the world. You see, our life of faith is about stepping out of darkness into light. Jesus says to Nicodemus, to see the kingdom of God, even you, Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a leader of the Jews, you have to be born again, born from above. Taking Jesus literally, Nicodemus misunderstands and begins talking about being physically reborn and gives Jesus a slate of questions. How can anyone be born again after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus informs him that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Jesus is talking about a life that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see, it's hard for Nicodemus to be able to let go of the ordinary to make room for the extraordinary. He's stuck in the literal. He's clinging to what he already knows and wants everything and everybody to stay in their own lane and leave him alone. He wants to remain comfortable and safe in his own world. I'm sure many of us here today can relate with Nicodemus. What we can see is that Nicodemus had been put in a position of having to make a decision, having to choosing Jesus as the Messiah or choosing to remain in his comfortable status quo. Jesus says to him, you must make a choice. You see, Nicodemus came out of the darkness when he entered into the presence of Jesus. He was put in a position of choice, but for this time, he chose to remain in the dark. When we have encounters with Jesus, we are in the light. And I ask you today, where do you find yourself? Do we in this Lenten journey choose to have a deeper relationship with Jesus the Messiah, to live by the light? Or is it safer for us to join Nicodemus at this time and remain in the dark? But there's one good thing about Nicodemus, my friends, in this story. He gives us a great message to take away, because he makes his encounter with Jesus, and he makes it because he was curious about this man called Jesus and his works. He was curious enough to seek out and thus move into the light, if it was only for a little while. We too should be curious. We should be curious to seek out answers to our questions. You see, as we grow, sometimes we lose our youthful curiosity. But I say to you, know that Jesus patiently receives any of the questions that we bring, and he creatively answers them. Jesus is truly the answer to our deepest questions. In him, the one whose presence is a sign of God's great love for the world, all of our deepest questions are answered. Now, this morning, we may find ourselves asking the question, how is this possible? Jesus can take us into a whole new realm of possibility. He can carry us to a new way of thinking, to a new way of construing the world and defining our lives, if we'll only open and trust him. In Jesus, we can be reborn. We can find new life. We can find light in the midst of the darkness. Again, Pastor Nathan told you last week that each encounter with Jesus, we are transformed and we are healed. And I say at least Nicodemus was curious. He was literally in the dark, but his virtue was that he was curious enough to seek out Jesus, thus move toward the light. His conversation with Jesus ends in a grand pronouncement. The pronouncement that God loves the world and sent the Son to the world as a visible sign of that love. Today's scripture answers Nicodemus's question of how is it possible to be born from above. Nicodemus' searching question found fulfillment in Jesus, fulfillment in the light of the world. The sign of God's grand love for the world, Nicodemus found how it is possible. God so loved the world that God gave the Son. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus in this scripture, but really he's talking a little past Nicodemus. He's speaking to those that represent Nicodemus, preachers, church leaders. He's speaking to us. Jesus is also talking to anyone who questions about seeing the kingdom of God or about righteousness and salvation. Friends, Jesus is talking to me and you this morning. Jesus was sent into the world to save us. Now in verse 7:14, Jesus truly speaks to Nicodemus about something that he knows. For you see, Nicodemus was authority in the law. And so Jesus describes himself as the serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness, Numbers 21:9. In the story from Numbers, God sent poisonous serpents into the Israelite camp as punishment for the people complaining against God. And when the people repented, God told Moses to fashion a serpent out of bronze and lift it on a pole so that anyone that was bitten by a serpent could look upon it and find life. And in effect, Jesus says to us, consider me to be the bronze serpent. You want to know what salvation looks like? Then you look at me. Look up and look at me, for I am salvation. Salvation is why I came into the world. God sent me into this world to save the world and not to condemn it. Then, church, we get to John 3:16. It's probably the most quoted verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, we often take this verse out of context. And one reason is because we put a period behind 3:16, and we fail to go on and read 3:17. 3:17 is just as important as verse 16. Jesus speaks this verse to Nicodemus, a man that is privileged, a man that is entitled. Jesus informs him that God loves the world. God loves all of his created beings. God loves all people. Jesus informs him that God loves the world. God loves everyone. And he says that this verse is an invitation for all of us to participate in spreading God's love throughout all the world. It's not a summons for us to exclude those we think God does not love. God's kingdom is open to all people, and God loves all of his created beings. In verse 17, we hear that God became flesh not to condemn the world, but to experience life with us. We must not ignore what judgment means in John's gospel. You see, in John's gospel, it doesn't depend on what we do or what God does. The judgment that is to come is not by a punishment, but is simply the crisis that befalls those who will not come out of the darkness for fear of the light. It's a time of what we Christians call a crisis of faith. It is not judgment as punishment, but it's judgment of your own moment of crisis, your own moment as a tragedy, or your own moment as a loss. We condemn ourselves if we fail to choose to enter into the life-sustaining relationship that God provides. When we limit salvation to some future guarantee, instead of coming in to the relationship of intimacy that God desires for us in the here and now. Not some later date, but God wants a relationship with us right here and right now. You see, God comes in love to redeem our losses, to redeem our tragedy into victory. And he comes to demonstrate true love through sheer vulnerability and sacrifice. You see, God is fundamentally a God of love. And that love is the logic by which the kingdom of God runs. And that God's love trumps everything else. Even in the end, God's love will trump justice. It will trump faith and hope, for love will live throughout all of eternity. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. You see, that's what the church is all about. That's the message that God called us to proclaim to all the world. That God so loved the world that he gave of himself that we may have life and have it more abundantly. God in Jesus came into the world. He is in the world right now, present with us. Not to condemn, but to save us. Not to judge us, but to acquit us. That's why I'm here, says Jesus. Jesus says, I didn't come, Nicodemus, as a judge or lawgiver. We already have enough laws in the land. He says, anyway, the law can't save. It can only tell us what's wrong. Laws can't save. You want to be saved? Jesus says, look up and look at me. I am the salvation for the world. Then Jesus says to Nicodemus and to those whom Nicodemus represents, and to any who care to listen, he says, I came to save. I came to heal. I came to bring light in the midst of the darkness. I came to bring God's light. And that's it. That's why I came. Now, Jesus brings light, God's light, the light of God's Spirit. Wherever Jesus is, the light is there. And there's plenty of darkness in our world. But Jesus came to shine a light, to be the light. We live in a messy world. We live in a world of confusion and darkness, but Jesus is in the light, in the midst of the light. You see, God didn't send Jesus to come to shove people into darkness. He doesn't push people into darkness, and God does not throw people into darkness. People choose the darkness for themselves. But even if we choose the darkness, the light is still present, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. And we just say, praise you, Lord, that the darkness can't overcome the light. And I ask you this morning, have you had enough darkness in your life? God does not throw us away. Do you want light? Then look up and look at Jesus, for he is the true light. Look up and believe in Jesus, follow Jesus without ever looking to the left or the right. For Jesus is the light in the midst of the darkness. Graciously, God does not reveal everything about us that needs changing at once. And thank God he doesn't, because we couldn't stand it. But as we experience encounters with the light, experience encounters with Jesus, and as our lives become filled with God's presence, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we become more aware of our sin, of the darkness, as well as we become more aware of the benefits that God brings to us. Like people in a dark room, when the light comes on, it takes a little time for our eyes to grow accustomed to sin. But Jesus points out the presence of the Holy Spirit in us will make us especially sensitive to the darkness, to the sin, and the need for us to continue to ask God to keep continually cleansing us and filling us with the love that He calls us to carry in the world. Once we are in the light, we must also guard against the temptation of closing our eyes so tight that when God is showing us something by the light of His word, we refuse to hear it. For the word was with God. But now the word has come to earth. You see, not changing all at once is what we see in Nicodemus's life. As we move through the Gospel of John, Nicodemus shows up two more times. He shows up in chapter 7, and he speaks out to the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin council, and he tells them and tries to find a way to support the ministry of Jesus. And even though he did not overrule them, he did speak up. And then in chapter 19, he shows up at the cross with Joseph of Arimathea to claim Jesus' body. And he brings many pounds of oil to prepare Jesus' body for burial. In this setting, Nicodemus makes a complete public appearance. He was now able to step into the light without any hesitation. You see, our faith journey is not complete once we proclaim Jesus Christ as the Messiah. This journey is a lifelong journey. It's a journey of living by the light. By looking at Jesus, we begin to find our way out of the darkness. Whatever our situation or our circumstance may be, Jesus is the light shining in the midst of God and to direct our ways. Our life, our new path, our new way begins as we learn to trust that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the one that came from earth. He is God. And He is truly the light shining in the dark. Now, living in the light of Christ calls us to live lives in a way that demonstrate how we trust the ways Jesus has called us to live. Trusting can mean that you're willing to give up something. It can mean that you are willing to change jobs if He calls you to. Or you might just be willing to stay put, even though you don't know what it is that Jesus is saying to you right now. But trusting in Jesus means that we go into all the world. We work for unity. We work for kindness, justice, and love. And I ask you today, how does your life show that you trust in the light of Jesus Christ? How does your life show that you trust in the light of Jesus Christ? We can walk in the light, even in the midst of the darkness. And the reason why we can, because God's love is tenacious. And so God's love continues to chase after us, seeking to hold on to us and to redeem us all the days of our life whether we like it or not, God is like a hound from heaven seeking us out because he desires a relationship. God's love is unbreakable. You can't do nothing to cause God not to love you. And as we remember God's tenacious love, let us also remember that this is one relationship in our lives which we have no power over. And it's also a relationship that we cannot destroy. I praise God that I can't mess it up in my own doings. You see, we can't mess it up because God created it. God maintains it, and God will bring it to a good end. And he'll do it all through the power of his vulnerable, sacrificial, and ever tenacious love. So you can live in love, and you can let your light so shine because God so loved the world. I ask you, how will you respond to the invitation of receiving God's love? And as I close, I just want to say, I'm so glad that God's love didn't give up on me. I'm so glad that when I wanted to give up, God just wouldn't let me go. He just said, hold on. To my unchanging love, and I will see you through. So if you just trust in God, he is a God of love and not a God of condemnation. We can see our way through this world, regardless of the mess. For God so loved the world that he gave his all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.